नमः ॐ विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण प्रेष्टाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी नित्य नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गौरवाणी बजारिने निर्विशेषा शून्यवारी भास्कर्यारे सतारिने श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवाचार्य गौर भक्तवृंद प्लीज रिपीट नमस्ते गिरिराजाय श्री गौरवदाननामिने अशेष क्लेश नाशाय परमानन्ददायिने वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरौ श्रीयुता पदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवंश श्रीरूपं सग्राजतं सहगना रघुनतं वितन्तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सवधूतं परिजनाश्रयितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपदं सहगना रघुललिताभिषकन्वितं च हे कृष्ण करुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कन्त राधा कन्त नमोस्तु ते तप्त कञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुधे देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Hare Krishna. Let me welcome you affectionately to this, a part of our Holy Name retreat where we discuss the really practical guidelines based on the teachings of the Shastras and the Acharyas. It will be my focus during these two classes today. And then the day after tomorrow, as far as I know, my focus will be to guide you in very practical ways into your own practice of chanting japa and also chanting kirtan. I have given many philosophical Hare Krishna. I have given many philosophical and sometimes theoretical or abstract presentations on the chanting, and I thought during this retreat we will have really a lot of practice and experience-oriented things, so I will need my musical group and your full attention, these two things. Hare Krishna. When you sit down in the morning to start with your japa, then what do? Why in the morning? When you sit down at any time during the day with your japa mala in the hand, what is an easy path to choose that will quickly bring you into an absorbed state of consciousness? Traditionally, japa is part of dhyana or meditation, a meditational state. And I believe we all have made practical experiences that our japa is usually the best when we can disconnect a little from the world of attractions and distractions and become really absorbed in our chanting. This meditative state of absorption is definitely the best and most suited form of japa meditation. And I will try to give a few guidelines that will enable all of us to enter this absorbed state of consciousness. Once a yogi had to learn from a girl in love what absorption means. He was sitting in the forest, turning his japa mala, when he heard someone coming through the underbrush. It cracked. And he was shocked when all of a sudden he saw a well-dressed girl in this lonely forest running towards him. She didn't notice him and ran right over him so that his japa mala fell out of his hand and disappeared in the forest. The yogi continued to chant all night. And early in the morning he heard again the sounds in the underbrush approaching. You know, like someone rushing through the forest and breaking twigs and stepping on dried leaves. And there was a certain, let us call it, forest noise. This time, again, he could see as the sun was coming up, the same girl coming to him. And he carefully moved out of the sight, out of the way, not to be run over again. But this time the girl stopped right before him, paid her obeisances, and expressed herself very devotionally. So when she was finished praising him, he said, "I can't understand. When you came the first time, you didn't notice me and ran right over me. And now you pay your obeisances. This is contradictory. Make up your mind." The girl said, "Sorry. When I first came, I was so absorbed. I was thinking about the meeting of with me and my lover in the hut by the side of the river. And I only had this meeting in my mind. Therefore, I had no place for any other perception, any other. I couldn't see you. But when I was coming back and our meeting had been commenced, it had taken place, then my mind was free and I saw you, and I'm very sorry. I'm very sorry. Please don't take offense. The yogi didn't say anything, but in his mind he said, I wish I would be as absorbed as this person was when she went for her meeting. When I do japa, it's also a meeting of sorts. I meet the Supreme Personality of Godhead in sound. But alas, alas, I hear only the forest noise, the noise of the forests. I have not heard the Mahamantra because I was not absorbed. My mind was not fulfilled in this. So the yogi took a lesson from this. This is a story told in India. There are many such stories abounding in the different religious traditions which describe the state of consciousness which is there when you are absorbed, as opposed to a distracted consciousness. A distracted consciousness happens when either our mind is somewhere else or our eyes are somewhere else. I just saw one of you looking over to the Matati site, and this devotee knows that I have 100 eyes, not 2 eyes, so he knew, he will notice that I look towards the Matatis. Better I look back. So I looked in the expression of his face, and I could see he could not hear what I have said because his eyes wandered somewhere else, and therefore his mind followed the eyes. In the ancient Natya Shastra, the scripture for dancing, it is said, wherever the hand goes, you know, of the dancer, there the eyes go, and wherever the eyes go, there the bhava, bhava means the internal mood goes. So this is the first lesson which we have to take when we wish to deal with the question of absorption. We want to come to a state of deep absorption in the holy name. We should not allow any of our senses to wander. The eyes can go in one direction, and then our attention goes there. But what is more frequent here in Vrindavan is that the ears go in a direction, because at least in Kartik, Vrindavan means it's a symphony of different loudspeaker sounds, which are unfortunately not very coordinated, and it's there's a constant attack. When you want to chant, when the state of absorption, you must learn to block or to stop your senses from engaging with the outside world. And we will come later to a deeper state of absorption, also the inside world. Now let me just see, I have the feeling we are just on the edge of a feedback here. Maybe I should explain it a little clear. Yes, thank you. Please watch that we don't have feedback. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur even goes so far as to say, when you wish to chant, you must block your external senses by binding a cloth around the eyes. Especially when I do autobahn chanting, that's, you know, highway chanting, when we drive and we have so much preaching that we have to chant some of our rounds in the car. I notice, zip, 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 the cars go by and the attention goes also by. This is gone. And at that time I sometimes bind my eyes, and I remember I was once stopped by the policeman. I was not the driver, you know. Just the co-driver. But it must have looked so unusual for the policeman that they, I don't know, they thought this is too good to let it pass by, so they stopped us and wanted to find out. And I said, I do japa meditation and I block my senses. This is a little bit what is going on here. Point here is, the scriptures and acharyas say, if you want to chant nicely, then you must sit properly at a place where you are unlikely to be disturbed, in a peaceful environment, or in the assembly of devotees. Two days ago, I visited His Holiness Indra Dyumna Maharaj, because the two of us form a secret brotherhood within ISKCON. We both are travelers to the sacred mountain of Kailash, and that is enough to form a secret bond. And I asked him, Maharaji, what do you do against sound pollution? And he said, I make noise myself. He said, whenever I go out to Vrindavan, I make sure I go with around 400 devotees and we do kirtan so loud that we drown out any loudspeakers and singers I don't know, dogs and Sweeneys whatever. So, yes, that's a good strategy, really. When you want to chant, you must either go in an atmosphere where there are no disturbances from outside, that is, a peaceful, secluded place, or you must protect yourself with a wall of spiritual sound, like the one which happens when many devotees come and chant. Do you know why it is important to block out external sensual stimuli? Why it's important? Yes, because the mind is directly linked with the senses, and therefore it is it's a high necessity. So what this means is, when you sit down to do your japa, Prabhu's and Mataji's, you must find a time and a place where you are not disturbed by these outside sounds. It's really important to create that in our life when we do japa. That is, I can't repeat how important it is. You can never come to a state of absorbed chanting if you do not make an arrangement in your immediate environment, so that either the auditory sense or the optical sense, even the the olfactory, that is the smelling sense, is not disturbed. It's very, very, very important. Even when you sit in a peaceful place, but there is strong winds, like it happens when you sit on an ocean or when you are in Badrinath, in Vrindavan. We did a pilgrimage to Badrinath, and there was strong wind. Even in strong wind, it is not possible because the sense of touch is directly accosted or attacked by some impression, and then immediately the intention goes there. This is a principle which, as we said, finds mentioning in the Natya Shastra. You know, the whole art of dance performance is based on grabbing the eyes of the dancer. Of the dancer has to grab the eyes of the audience and then bring his audience through the senses, through the eyes, into a certain experience of rasa, of some taste, some bhava, some appreciation of the particular scene the dancer depicts through his or her art. It's a very important principle. So please, if you take notes during this, take the note, is the first principle for good japa, which brings you to absorbed japa, is to take care that there are no outer sensual disturbances. That's usually the first thing I take care of when after I get up and I've done my you know, what is it called, ablutions, my cleaning activities, and then I sit down and I always make sure that it's an atmosphere which is also fresh, which is clean, so that you don't see any chaotic scenes there that is a tamasic influence which comes. Sit in a well-ordered place, focus your attention forward, don't wander with your eyes. Best is a little altar where you have your spiritual master and Radha and Krishna, because this is a Yugal mantra, mantra of Radha and Krishna. Maybe a picture of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then be focused, stay locked there, surround yourself with a good atmosphere. Either you are yogically inclined, which we have not learned very, very much. Maybe there are few of us who have these sanskaras. They just like to sit without anything. But we do, like Indra Dumna Maharaj, we surround ourselves with stimuli which are spiritual, but not too much. We should not overburden our senses even with seeing pictures, just minimally, and so on. And then you will see it's easier to go into the absorption, because there's nothing really in your atmosphere any longer which can grab your attention and distract you. You have taken care to take that out. Now we are ready to go into the second thing. What do you consider a greater disturbance? What is going on outside of you or inside of you? It's a good question, isn't it? We know that thoughts, moods, things we turn again and again and again in our mind create a certain internal climate, if you so wish. And just like there are outside storms, there are unfortunately many inside storms also. And in this age of Kali, where there's so much misunderstanding in the world of human beings, we have heard many words which disturbed us. We have many relationships which need so much attention in order to stay peaceful. In this way, we are very, very, very much, let me say, moved by our inside or inner disturbances. Therefore, the scriptures say, try to have good relationships by being humble and giving respect to others and not asking for respect. This takes care of about, let us say, 80% of the inner disturbances. Because if you are humble and you are accustomed to give respect and not take respect, at such time you have, let me say, peaceful relationships. Everyone likes a humble man. Everyone likes a woman who gives respect and honor and so on. And is not, you know, your relationships become manageable if you keep these simple advices alive in your life. For good chanting, you need to have a life where not constantly disturbances are thrown into you. And the major part of disturbances for a human being, or the greatest disturbances for a human being, come from other human beings. It's just like that. Live a kind life, a humble life, a respectful life, and you can minimize the problems which come from social interactions with others. Please take this advice from an old man who has survived 48 years of ISKCON life, and who knows what he's talking about. In my eyes, the best society which you can find on planet Earth, but it's still a society of human beings who sometimes disagree. So there will be problems, yes. And this was the first rule of inner peace. Keep peace with other human beings. But now we go a little bit more into the detail. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gives a very practical advice on inner absorption. He says, wherever the mind goes, due to its restless nature, one should certainly bring it back under the control of the self. And it is here where I would like to introduce you to a little practice in japa, a little meditation, a practice. If you want to bring the mind back when you chant, you first of all have to be able to recognize when the mind is no longer there. Am I clear, Krishna Tattva? If I want to bring my mind back, I have to first of all notice that it's gone. That means I have to learn a simple technique which is called not identifying with the mind, but observing the mind. This will be new for most of us, so I request you to switch on your attention button. See, most of us are so identified with their moods that if you ask them, how are you today? He will say, sad, but that's just a state of the mind. It's not what we, the soul, are like. The next moment you asked, how are you? He will say, I've had a good breakfast, I'm happy now. But that's just the state of the mind. Have you ever seen a child and wondered how quickly they can change moods? They cry as if this was the end of the universe in one moment. And then you grab in your pocket and you produce a little toffee. And the child is so happy as if he has just attained $1 million in well, he doesn't need dollars, but what does he need? A few chocolate pieces. You know, it's so quick, but this is not what the child is like. These are fleeting, temporary moods or mental states. So a person in the Western civilization who is not really knowing that he is not the body and the mind is very often dependent on the states of his mind, not able to control it. Even in a spiritual movement, there is an embarrassing lack of detaching from the body and the mind at times. Devotees need to learn, especially if they want to come to the state of absorbed chanting, to detach themselves from the changing mental, moods. If this is not done, there is absolutely no symptom of maturity, of maturation. So, but before you can do that, you need to really understand that you are not the mind, but you can use the mind. I would like now to make a group japa exercise with you, where we chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and I will give you different things to do with your mind, which are Krishna conscious, don't worry, and will help your japa. You have your japa mala? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you. Your task will now be to enter into a state of absorbed chanting. We will take a route. We will start with the external atmosphere. I will request you to not look around during this chanting session, but you might fix your gaze a little in front of you, or somewhere. Oh, this is good. We have Gaur Nithai here, Lord Nityananda here, and Gauranga Mahaprabhu there. Yes, beautiful pieces of art, by the way. Remarkable. So you should fix your gaze. You understand this English? Fix your gaze. This is how you look. Lock it on something. Also, very good is the Maha Mantra. And we have here Chinese. Very good. Russian. This looks like Hebrew. Is that? Oh, yes. We have also our ethnic community here. So, good. Good. So, you fix the mind and your glance there. Thank you very much, Prabhu. You bring light. Thank you. And your sense will be only engaged with the sound vibration of the Hare Krishna mantra. Then we will go a little deeper in a minute, but for now we will do this. Okay, you all are with us? No? Yes? Good. Focus, fix your gaze, and everything else stops, all sense perceptions stop, and then just listen. As Prabhupada says, just try to listen to yourself chant sincerely. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare
Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yes and no. Yes, you are getting into the vibration, but there is one little technique which Dhyan Chandra reveals in his guidebook. He says, good japa means two things, and I will first mention one thing. The mantra should enter the heart. Let us start with this, then the second thing will come in a moment. So as you chant, do not just listen up till here, that's 1 centimeter inside from your ear hole. Listen, let the sound go deeper. It will help you in the beginning to think that this sound should enter the heart. If this is a little optical assistance, imagine you drink the sound through the ear, and it comes like when you drink milk. The milk doesn't just stop here; it goes all it goes down. Who of you has ever drunk a milk which was too hot? Did you feel something like a heartburn? It felt like here in the heart area. No? If you have drunken real hot milk, like as if you're a greedy man like me, then you know what I mean. It's really embarrassing, a heartburn. So we want to get a heart shower here with the holy name. You just let the sound come in, and you let it enter the space of the heart. Do you know that you have a heart? Are you aware that... No, I'm asking, do you sometimes feel it in the sense of emotions? So, yes? I don't... Obviously, we feel pain, 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 pain. The bio-heart, the pump. But I'm thinking now of the emotional heart. Let all of you participate in the chanting. Let our emotions and our heart, let us rescue it for a moment from the material energy. And let it be, let it come into the, let it, let the sound come there. In the language of Srila Prabhupada, often the mind and the heart are used in an interchangeable way. He sometimes says, purify the heart, sometimes purifies the mind, because we understand it's here. Here's a very powerful organ, very powerful organ. What was it? 20,000 liters of blood go each day through this organ. It makes... Each heart has its distinct rhythm, which is as distinct as your fingerprint. A person who is a strong, who feels emotionally heartbroken, often needs to go to open heart surgery. Yes, I have two godbrothers I know who had something in their life happening which broke their heart, a great disappointment, and later they found themselves in the under heart surgery. It's very connected, our heart with the our emotional heart with the physical heart. No? So we want here, we want the sound vibration to go here and purify. So for now, just imagine it goes down like the nice saffron spiced milk which goes down. So the with the only difference that it goes through the oral channel. Yes, is that possible for you? Let us try. Huh? So we chant, and while we chant, we bring our attention to the heart space. And then you will see a deeper state of absorption is the result. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. In the heart, chant from your heart, not lip deep, heart deep, heart deep. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you very much. Very nicely you did. What we have learned now is we have gone through, we have learned to first of all put our body in the most favorable situation. You remember what that was? To block, what? Yes, block out sensual stimuli. Do you know the word stimuli? It stimulates at us. It's an impulse. No? So you have looked forward, and you're surrounded with a wonderful devotees, in this case it is spiritual, we help each other. Now, the next thing was we were working with our mind a little, starting to go into a deeper area, the heart area. I would like now to go to the heart area with you a little. How to bring your heart to the chanting. The best way, our Vedic tradition teaches in stories. There's a famous saying is, you tell stories to children so that they fall asleep, and you tell stories to grown-ups so that they awake. And this is a way the Bhagavatam teaches. And there is a wonderful narration, interestingly enough, Bhaktivinoda Thakur picks one verse from this narration, saying that it is this verse which helps us to get into the mood. Mood is something which the heart is famous for. How to align our heart. And it is from the Bhagavatam narrative which our Bhujam Prabhu has told us yesterday. It's about the great devotee Chitraketu, who was cursed to take a demoniac birth, the birth of Vritasura. Vritasura turned out to be a hideous monster when he roared. It was like this, the Indra called for the final battle against the Lord of Mordor, Vritasura. He was really that person which most of you know from contemporary entertainment industry. That Vritasura was the universal evil. His name is Vritta, which means a circle. His influence encircled the entire universe. Indra rallied all the available troops of the heavenly beings, the Gandhavas, Vidyadharas, the powerful fighters. So many were there. But when they confronted Vritasura on the battlefield, Vritasura shocked them so much. He had a form that his copper red hair scratched the clouds in the air. He was really tall, and he gave up. The devatas then showered him with a shower of their missiles, but he just laughed and combated all these missiles. And then he roared so much that the devatas first fainted out of fear, and then they ran away. In martial arts, when you confront an opponent, in certain schools there is a big scream and shout, and then the opponent gets already fear, and then that's your chance to strike. So this is what Vritasura did. He just screamed, all the demigods just fainted, and then Vritasura charged them and they disappeared. So but Vritasura said, come on, don't run away. This is not good warfare. the demigods were gone. And then Indra took his thunderbolt and began to throw it at Vritasura. But Vritasura just caught the thunderbolt in the air. This thunderbolt is invincible, but he caught it and hurled it back, hitting Indra's elephant Airavata so badly on the jaw that the jaw broke, and the poor animal went down to the ground, and Indra flew back, and he said, how can I fight you? This is, imagine someone shoots a bullet at someone, and the other person goes like, zoop, catches the bullet, and says, and shoots it back, and then hurts the original person who shoot the bullet, then the person will give up. I don't want to fight any longer. I'm discouraged. This is not working. This is what Vitasura did. Then he said, Indra, we meet in the game of life. Victory and defeat are not up to us. They are up to the Lord. Here on this battlefield, we are the chess figures, which are moved by the all-powerful Lord. Therefore, stand up and fight. Indra just looked at him, flabbergasted. You took my weapon, my best weapon. But Vritasura, reading his mind, he said, your best weapon you have not used because you are a faithless fool. Your best weapon is given to you by the Lord. And you have trust only in your thunderbolt, but not in a divine weapon. Throw that Narayan weapon, and which was made for you, to throw this Narayan Kavacha, and I will give up my life. And then he started to say, a verse which I would like to read to you, in which he expresses his extreme eagerness to go to Krishna. And my dear devotees, this is the verse which we should also chant before chanting, or we should be aware, because it informs us with a, or infuses us, is a better English word, with the mood from where you can chant with your heart. This verse expresses the necessary inner mood of someone who wants to reach perfection in his chanting. It expresses how he can take his heart now and put it into the chanting in order to reach full absorption. Up till now we have taken our body by focusing ourselves with our body and our senses. We have focused our mind by concentrating. Now we will use our heart. And anyone who can do this will be an absorbed chanter, and he will say after 120 rounds, oh, I have not yet started to chant. I'm so attached to this chanting. I cannot stop any longer. Would you like to learn this verse? Why? Absorbed chanting, is it a concept you entertain as, or you value as important for you? I'm just trying to make sure that you are listening. This verse, for all of you who would like to take notes, is in the Bhagavatam 6th canto, 11th chapter, text 26.
Ajata paksha iva mataram kaga stanyam yata vatsatara chudata priyam priyeva vyushitam vishanna manoravindaksha didikshate tvam.
May my mind always be eager to see you, just as baby birds desire their mother, as a hungry calf anxiously wait. No, as hungry calves anxiously wait to drink the mother's milk. And as the mind of a wife remains absorbed in thoughts of her husband when he is away from home. So, may my mind always be eager to see you in the same way as the baby birds desire their mother. You can imagine the baby bird. It's sitting there in the nest. It's not able to fly long distances to capture its own food. So the baby bird is absolutely dependent on the mother to bring a new food. And when there is a rustling, maybe the wind rustles with the leaves, the baby bird thinks, it might be my mother. My mother is just now coming. It could be a bird of prey, like the owl, who is coming and wanting to eat the baby bird. The baby bird is totally dependent on its survival, or is in regards to its survival, on his benevolent mother. So the chanter is in that mood, like the baby bird, trembling with expectation in the little nest. And whenever something moves, oh, that's Krishna, that's Krishna, oh, Krishna. So eager. And the second example is that of the calf. Just maybe 2 days ago, we were taking our noon prasadam in a goshala. And right behind us, there were these beautiful braj cows bound by a stick to the earth. And I remember there was a mother cow eating happily, and then the farmer or the goshala person brought the calf, and already when the calf was approaching its mother, it was pooing at the rope, and the cowherd man was laughing because there was such a strong pull. And then the calf went to the udder of the mother, and I was amazed. Have you ever seen? They really knock the udder to stimulate the milk flow. And in that same way, that same eagerness of the calf who waited all day for the mother to return from the meadows or from grazing, the same way I wait for you, my Lord. The last example is that of a housewife. We had from our country, there was one housewife chanting in one place, and her husband was in the country of mountains, and she was missing the husband very, very much. My husband, when will he come? It's so lonely here, 2,000 light years from the country of mountains where my husband is. And was thinking very much of the beloved husband to come so that she could serve him and satisfy him with words and with attention and so on. So in the same way, the devotee awaits for Krishna so that he can do some service for Krishna and satisfy the beloved Lord in all in all ways. So these are little, in English, can you say vignettes? Small little images in which we are invited to enter with our mind and our heart. They all represent one thing. Could you recognize that one thing, that one principle? Eagerness, yes, eagerness. And waiting, yes, eagerness. Thank you. And a certain sense of urgency. This is how you bring your heart. I always like this one verse.
It's in Madhya Lila, chapter 22, verse 33. I cannot guarantee because I don't think in numbers, but in images. So, in that area of 33, maybe it's 33. It says, Krishna to Mahana, my dear Lord Krishna, I have forgotten you for so many long years in this material world. Today I turn towards you as your sincere and serious servant. No, I turn to you like the baby bird, or like the calf, or like the wife who turns to the husband who has returned. No? I beg you, please accept me as your sincere servant. So we will now enter into the meditation, which will branch into a kirtan. I need to alert my musical band, the Giriraj Govardhan Bhajan Band. We will now chant, and as we chant, we will try to enter a state of absorption. Let me ask you, do you have any questions so far before we go into the exercise? This is a good time to pause a little. Yes, Prabhu? Eagerness is a painful emotion, the devotee says. So it is, how do you maintain a painful emotion and sustain it for a long time? It's new for me to hear that it is painful, so let me first think and enter your mind, which sees it as painful. Painful in the sense that there's something you have not yet attained? Or why is it painful? I'm asking.
All of the examples in the verse are...
Uh-huh. Our devotee says these examples are certainly examples of distress. Yeah, the morose housewife, where is my husband? Calf. We obviously understand things in different ways. Well, but I need to answer your question, so I need to understand it the way you do.
Go.
You want some other state to come, and you want the milk or the mother. You want the mother, yes. You don't want to be alone any longer. Yeah, Prabhuji, but aren't we all separated from Krishna? I think it is the reality, it's facing the reality that when we understand, yes, I'm Krishna, I'm your part and parcel, and at the moment I lost you in some sense, I'm not with you. Like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, I'm fallen in the ocean of birth and death. And Now I understand you. Very good question. I needed a little time. Yes, these are all also this Ayinanda Tanuya Shloka. I'm fallen in the ocean of birth and death. That's not a nice situation at all. But that's the reality. And to start spiritual life, you must make the reality check. We are separated at the moment, and all our so-called pleasures
come from the art of deception, self-deception. As long as we are not wanting to get out of the prison and just enjoy the prison comforts, you know, slightly softer bed, maybe if I'm put from one cell to the other cell, then we have relative pleasures. See, in Krishna consciousness, there are two points here. You must wake up to the reality of your situation. Unless you understand that I'm an eternal, that I'm a soul, I'm not the body, but at the moment I'm in a foreign element, there is no tattvic foundation. Tattvic means no reality foundation in your life, and all you have is self-deceptions which cannot make you happy, because they're shadow, they don't have any substance. Now, my dear devotee, I'm remembering something which Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, and which many of us have experienced. The moment you awaken to the reality of your state and then hanker for Krishna, in that hankering for Krishna, Krishna is already present and soothes your emotions. Have we not all seen this? We go in our life, life becomes at certain stages unmanageable. We maneuver ourselves in situations where we really don't know how we will solve this one. And then finally, after trying many remedial measures, friends, talks, boosting our self-esteem up, distracting us with mindless entertainments. Finally, we turn to Krishna, and we are ready to cry for Him. And in that crying for Krishna, or turning to Krishna, Prabhuji, you play very loud with your pen. In that crying for Krishna or connecting with Krishna, we feel so much relief. Anyone knows? Oh, Krishna, you are my only Lord. And one eye cries, the other laughs. We finally are at the place where spiritual life can start. This, yes, you are right. Awakening from an illusion is at first a little painful. Yes. Especially painful it is if we have not yet attained things in our spiritual life. But awakening is the prerequisite to realizing. Once again, awakening is the prerequisite condition to realizing anything. If you remain asleep and everything is part of your dream, imagination and so on, then it's not good. It is Krishna's special mercy to facilitate this awakening of his devotees. His constant work is to destroy the false pride of his devotees, by which they remain attached to the body and the mind and their various situations. And this pain which you mentioned, and this, you are right, you have made a very, very, very deep point. This pain which you mentioned is often giving birth to the greatest pleasure, that pain of separation from Krishna. It is there. Unless you feel this separation, you can never have a meeting.
because you think you're. And these are examples of separation. The little bird feels separated from the mother, the calf, also, and the wife feels also separation. This is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. And once again, I would like to say, when you feel separation of something on the mundane platform, let us say a wife feels, or a husband, we can turn it around, this example, feels separated from his wife, she doesn't come by this movement. She's still in somewhere in America, and you may be in India, and there is only exuberant bills on the mobile telephone which bring you together for a few minutes and so on. But if you think of Krishna, he's there, because Krishna is not different from Krishna, either the name or the thought or the person. He is an absolute. Very nice point. And in fact, my dear devotee, that entering that mood of separation, this is how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught Krishna consciousness. And the example Prabhupada would often use are the six Goswamis who walked all over Vrindavan chanting, "Where are you now? Lalita, Vishaka, Radha, Krishna, where are you now?" And in this mood, they were always together with Krishna. Therefore, sometimes, what I did during the months of Kartik, I always read about Krishna and about Krishna conscious subject matters, and I chant, and then my desires want to go there. I wish to find that, and then yes, we are. Then some connection is made. Hey, Mangshu, I saw your hand up. Yes, the absorption which I'm talking about is not a yogic absorption where there is no Lord and there are no emotions. No, it's an absorption in bhakti. And in the strong feelings of bhakti, the devotee gets absorbed. The analogy of that lady who went to have a meeting at the riverbank was an example of absorption with emotions. It's interesting, when the devotees meditate about Krishna, they always meditate about Krishna in Vrindavan, in the beautiful arena of Vrindavan. They do not meditate about Krishna separate from Vrindavan. In other words, it's different from the yogis. The yogis will meditate, some meditate about Krishna also, by first bringing the light of the moon in the heart, then the light of the fire, moon, sun, first sun, moon, and then fire, and they have the picture of Vishnu there. Just imagine how they meditate, surrounded with all this light, no Vrindavan, and then at the end, the fire devours everything and there's only light. Hare Krishna. The impersonal yogis do like this. We think of Vrindavan with the bees and the birds and the everything. It's a personal absorption with rasa. They don't know what is rasa, unfortunately, and therefore, yeah, it's difficult for them. Are you ready to chant? I would like to do now what we have done with Kirtan. That's a holy name.